Okay, Matthew chapter 21. We'll be looking today at verses 28 to 32. And I'm going to ask if you all know what a mirage is. I know Leanne does. You guys know what a mirage is? Okay. So you walk in the desert and you look up ahead and you see water. And you make your way to the water, and when you get there, there's no water. It just looked like it was, but it's not. That's a mirage. It fakes you out. You get a tree, you know, and the tree has all these insects on the inside, and it eats out the inside. So it's rotten on the inside, but the tree looks really healthy on the outside. But it's not. People are this way too. Jesus is going to address that today. And we're going to be talking about that today. Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32. Here's what it says. Jesus says, "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." So in this scene, Jesus is still in the temple. So you remember, we've been dealing with Jesus in the temple for the past few weeks now, different scenes of him in the temple. And this saying very likely follows immediately after the scene that we looked at last week where they questioned his authority and he talked about John's baptism. And we'll get at that a little bit later. We'll kind of connect those dots a little bit later. But it probably occurs right after that. Well, he was teaching in the temple. And in this scene, he's telling a parable. And it is a parable about two sons. It's really a parable about two different kinds of people. And so he says, "What do you think?" He's talking to the Jewish leaders there. "What do you think, Jewish leaders? A man has two sons. He says to the first, 'Go work in the vineyard.' And the son says, 'No.' But he later changes his mind and he goes. The second son says, 'I'll go,' but he never goes. And so one of the sons says the wrong thing, but later changes and does the right thing. And one says the right thing, but he never does it. And so which one did the will of his father?" That's Jesus' question. And the answer is obvious. Everybody knows. You know, you and I know, the Jewish leaders know, everybody knows who did the will of the Father. And they say the first son. He's the one who changed his mind, who repented. Jesus then takes this parable and he applies it to the Jewish leaders that he's talking to. Look at verse 31, where he says, "Which of the two did the will of his father?" And they said, "The first." And Jesus then said to him, "Truly I say to you, The tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. Why? Why do the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before the Jewish leaders? Verse 32, the next verse, just keep reading. He says, "For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him." That's why they enter the kingdom of God before the Jewish leaders. And so, now here are the two sons. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are the first son. They were, in the eyes of the Jewish people, like the scum of the earth. They're the lowest of the low. Tax collectors are traitors. They're wicked, they're cruel. They betrayed their people for money. But when they heard John preach repentance and the coming of the Messiah, many of them changed their mind and they repented and they came into the kingdom of God. That's the first son. They're just like the first son. Now, the Jewish leaders are the second son, because they look good on the outside. They keep the sacrifices. They pray their prayers. They say all the right things. The Jewish leaders are saying, "I serve you, God. We serve you." But when God sends them a prophet, they reject him. And now God is sending them the Messiah, the Son of God, and they reject him. They oppose God, but they say all the right things. They look good at first glance, but they're evil on the inside. And consequently, they're not going to get into the kingdom of God. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes are, because they repented and changed. They changed their mind. And to make matters worse, Jesus says in verse 32, concerning the Jewish leaders, toward the end of verse 32, he says this, "And even when you saw it," that is, when you saw the tax collectors and the prostitutes repenting, "when you saw this, you did not afterward change your mind and believe him." And so they saw the repentance, but they wouldn't repent themselves. So Jesus is telling a parable about two different kinds of people. Now, in this parable, he makes a reference to John the Baptizer. And his reference to John is a continuation of the scene we looked at last week. Because I'm going to kind of run real fast through the scene from last week. So if you remember, Jesus is in the temple. He's teaching. The Jewish leaders come and they say, "By whose authority do you do these things?" And Jesus says, "I will also ask you a question. And if you answer me, I then will answer your question. The baptism of John. From where did it come? From heaven or from man?" That's what Jesus is asking it. And so they discuss it. The Jewish leaders are discussing it. And they say, "Man, if we say from heaven, he'll say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' If we say from man," it says they feared the crowd, for the crowd believed John was a prophet. Now, last week when we covered this scene, I told you that Jesus' question about John the Baptist was much more than just a slick way of avoiding giving an answer. Jesus' question actually was related to their question. Because remember, if John is from heaven, John pointed to Jesus. Their question was, by whose authority are you doing these things? And so he asks about John. Well, if they say John's from heaven, they answered their question. Because they're saying that Jesus' authority is from heaven, because John pointed to Jesus. And so Jesus is still talking to these very same leaders in the temple, and he just had this engagement over John the Baptist, and he's bringing up John again, and the fact that they don't believe him, which is why they wouldn't give an answer. There we go. And so Jesus says, verse 32, John came to you in the way of righteousness. That's what verse 32 says. Okay. In other words, Jesus just answered the question that he previously had asked them. Look at verse 25, which is what we covered last week. In verse 25, Jesus says, the baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? That's his question. Now look at verse 32. This is what we're covering today. Jesus says, for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. And so Jesus is really, he's answering the question that he posed to them, and he's really pressing them for their unbelief. And when Jesus answers their question, or excuse me, when Jesus answers his question about John, he's also answering their question about authority. But he's not doing it by saying, my authority comes from heaven. He's doing it by saying, John came in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. Jesus is basically calling them hypocrites. What he's saying to them is, you say one thing, but you won't do it. You're that second son. You say, I go, but you won't go. He's coming down hard on them, and he's doing it through a parable. He's actually not coming out and just saying it. He's kind of cloaking it. He's hiding it in a story. And so he's calling them hypocrites. Here's how he's calling them hypocrites. A man had two sons, and he just tells a story. But it bites hard. This is what's going on in the temple in the first century. You know, just prior to Passover in Jerusalem. So then, let's bring it up to the 21st century now. Let's talk about today. Some principles from this story. First one, kind of obvious, I suppose, but do what God says. Don't just say the right words. It's the son that did what his father said who was right. Not the son that said the right thing. You have to do it, not just say it. Good words are not enough. Now, obviously, good words are better than bad words. But good words by themselves are not enough. God wants repentance from the heart. That's what he's looking for. God wants to change your life. God doesn't want you and me to merely say, I love the poor. He wants you to care for them. He doesn't want you to merely say, I love God's people. He wants you to serve them, care for them, be with them. He doesn't want you to say merely, I love God's word. He wants you to obey it. He wants you to let it penetrate your heart and not just say nice things about it. Really, the first son who eventually obeyed, but at first did not obey, had a change of heart, it says in there. He changed his mind. But he obeys. And obedience is a heart issue. Jesus said this, if you love me, you will obey me. That's right. The son who says, I will go, but doesn't go, has a heart problem. He doesn't love. Because if he loved, he would go. And this is how it is with us. If you love, you go. If you love him, if you love Christ, you love God's people. They go together. If you love Christ, you work to bring the lost to Christ. It's part of loving Christ. If you love Christ, you keep your word. If you love Christ, you do your job with integrity. It's all of this that we find in Scripture flows from love. And love is a heart thing. A right heart follows Jesus. A right heart doesn't merely say that it follows Jesus. It actually desires to do his will from the inside. Jesus said, a tree is known by its fruit. And so a right heart will pursue what Jesus says. Now, this doesn't mean you never fall. We fall all the time. We sin. But what it does mean is when you fall, you get back up. And you pursue him. Think of your life as a journey, and you're journeying up, let's say, into the mountains. And there's this trail you're on, walking up into the mountains. And, you know, as you're walking up into the mountains, you step on a log and fall down. And, you know, maybe you slide back down a bit. When that happens, you get back up, and you continue on the same direction you were walking in. Okay, this is the Christian life. The Christian life does not at all mean we never sin, we never fall, but it means there's this path we're pursuing, and when we fall, we get back up and we continue on that path. That's what it's like. And so the first thing is, what matters is that you actually do what God asks. What's your father? You know, the parable is a son and a father, okay? A child and a father. Well, you have a heavenly father. Apply the parable to your heavenly father. He wants you to do what he asks. Second thing from this parable that applies to us today is we need to repent. This is a parable about repentance. See, the good son, the one who did what his father wanted, didn't start good. The first son began bad, but changed his mind and went. That's called repentance. That's what that's called. And that's what this is a story about. And when Jesus actually applies it to people, he applies it to tax collectors and prostitutes who repented. Who started bad, but heard John's preaching and repented. Guys, God has an open door for sinners. This is what is so unique about Christianity. It's the religion for sinners. All other religions are religions for righteous people. Christianity is a religion for sinners. Now, the son who first said no, but repented, when he did that, God honored that repentance. And so the tax collectors and the prostitutes enter the kingdom before the good religious people enter the kingdom, because the tax collectors and the prostitutes repented, and the good religious people did not. That's the difference between the two sons and who Jesus applies those sons to. Now, God forgives sin through Christ. This is central to Christianity. Remove that from Christianity, you don't have any Christianity left. Heaven is not for perfect people. It's for tax collectors and prostitutes. That's something we need to understand. It's for sinners who repent. All of us, apart from Christ, are running the wrong way. You know, we're supposed to be on that path going up into the mountain. Well, we're on that path heading down into the valley, apart from Christ. Now, Christ comes and turns us around and says, no, you're going the wrong way. Go up, not down. That's something like what repentance is. And so we've turned aside. So repent when you need to repent. Come back and follow Jesus when that's something that you need to do. The door into the kingdom of God is open. But you've got to repent. No one walks through the door if he's walking in the other direction. You have to actually turn around and go through that door. Now, we all kind of recognize, everybody recognizes, that people like prostitutes need to repent, because we see what they do and we say, well, yeah, you know, prostitutes. You know, we think of drug addicts and alcoholics and people addicted to porn, and we see the sin. It's just obvious. It's you see it. It's there. But Jesus opens heaven's gates to those people. If they repent and they trust Jesus from the heart, they just said yes to their Father in heaven. That's what they just did. And he will honor that. And so we see that pretty easy. But sometimes what we don't see is that the good, respectable people also need to repent. This is what we generally don't see. And the good, respectable people certainly, for the most part, don't see it concerning themselves. Now, I'm talking about the people who have nice jobs and nice families and nice homes and who obey the law and raise their kids and cut their grass. And these people need to repent. This is part of the point of the parable that Jesus is talking about. Because when he applies it, he's saying that the tax collectors enter the kingdom of God before the respectable people do, because the Jewish leaders are very respectable in their culture. And this is what we miss. We all see, oh yeah, those prostitutes, they definitely need to repent. But me? No, I'm a good guy. I have a nice job and raise my family, and you know, I'm a normal guy. We think repentance is just for these big sinners, the murderers and the sexually immoral people. That's what we think. In reality, repentance is for you and me. You know, you think you're pretty good, but you prioritize your comfort over the kingdom of God. That's sin. You think you're pretty good, but you arrogantly look down on people who disagree with your politics. That's sin. It's a hard attitude. It's wrong. It doesn't honor God. You think you're pretty good and thus you don't think you need the cross to pay for your sin. Whoa, where'd you get off with that? You don't need the cross to pay for your sin? So many respectable people reject Jesus, and they reject the cross, and they reject the resurrection. And they reject it partly because they don't think they need it. And Jesus is saying to these respectable people, these respectable Jewish leaders in this parable, he's saying, tax collectors and prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you because you did not believe, but they did. And when you saw their repentance, you did not repent yourself. Guys, the kingdom of God is for sinners. It's not for people who think themselves okay. And to be a Christian and to be in the kingdom of God requires that you understand that you're a sinner. And sometimes the people who do what we would call the big sins, you know, the big sinners, so to speak, as we think of it, sometimes those people, they see their sin more easily than the respectable people do. I'm going to tell you a story. So, 1976, there was a stream of murders took place in New York City. The police eventually arrested a man for all of the murders. He was a serial killer. The man was named David Berkowitz. He's better known today as the Son of Sam killer. And he went to prison for life for the murders that he committed. One day he was in prison, and they were out in the yard there in the prison, and another prisoner came up and sat down next to him, and they just started talking. And the other prisoner was a Christian, and began to talk to the Son of Sam killer about Christ and the cross and forgiveness. And over time, the son of David Berkowitz, the Son of Sam killer, became a Christian in prison. And he repented. You know, he's the first son. He's like the tax collectors and the prostitutes. He's a new man now. He's been a believer actually for, I don't know, a long time, decades. And he actually serves as a counselor in the prison for the inmates. Now, of course, he's not getting out of prison because of what he did. But he's serving God where he is in the prison as a counselor. And the prison leaders recognize him as a leader, a counselor for the inmates. It's not just that the leaders, the people who aren't there for a crime, you know, the people running the prison, recognize what this guy is. He's changed. Now, David Berkowitz, a serial murderer, will enter the kingdom of heaven before my respectable neighbors will. Because David Berkowitz actually saw his sin, and he repented, and he changed. And my respectable neighbors, they don't even see their need. And you say, well, it was easy for him because he could see his sin. I mean, when you're a serial murderer, it's kind of obvious you're a sinner, right? But nonetheless, he saw it. And the respectable people don't. So they never repent. When you're living a respectable life, you think, what do I have to repent of? But you need Jesus. And this business of repenting and believing that we see in here, You see it in this parable. You see repenting and believing. Repenting because the son changed his mind. That's what repentance is. And repenting because the tax collectors also changed. And the tax collectors believed him. That's where believing is in. And then he says, and even when you saw it, you Jewish leaders, afterwards, you did not change your mind, that's repentance, and believe him. That's belief, that's faith. So this business of repenting and believing is central to the kingdom of God. Look at verse 31 again. I've been talking about it all along. I'm just pointing it out again. The tax collectors and the prostitutes who believe and who repent go into the kingdom of God. The respectable people who never repent have no part in the kingdom of God. Guys, this is big. This is a big deal. We're talking about heaven and hell here. If you never believe Jesus as Lord, if you never confess your sin and repent, Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I said earlier that heaven is for sinners who repent. Now I say that hell is for good and respectable people. And that may be scandalous to some, but that's part of the gospel. If you think you're good and respectable, you're actually on the path to hell, apart from Christ. But if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's 1 John 1. This is the gospel. This is a gospel message today, just pure and simple. And it's for you, and it's for me. If you believe it, thank him. If you've not yet believed it, it's time to believe it. And let Jesus change your life. And so I want to close this way. I'm just going to ask us to pray. And I want us either to be asking Jesus' forgiveness, if it's not something we've done before, or thanking him for it, if it's something we've done and we know we have it. So I'm just going to open it up for prayer. Pray as God puts on your heart, and either ask him or thank him.